ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Canto 8, Chapter 21, Texts 29 and on. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of ISKCON. O King of the Demons, you have promised to give me 3 steps of land, but I have occupied the entire universe with 2 steps. Now think about where I should put my 3rd. As far as the sun and moon shine with the stars, and as far as the clouds pour rain, all the land throughout the universe is in your possession.
Padaikena maya kanto Bhurloka kandishastano Svaralokaste dvitiyena Pashyataste Swamatmana.
I have occupied Bhurloka, and with my body I have occupied the entire sky and all directions. And in your presence, with my 2nd step, I have occupied the upper planetary system. Purport. According to the Vedic description of the planetary system, all the planets move from east to west. The sun, the moon, and 5 other planets, such as Mars and Jupiter, orbit one above another. Vamanadeva, however, expanding his body and extending his steps, occupied the entire planetary system. Vamanadeva's proposition seemed ridiculous. 3 steps of land by his own measurement. You might think, what was the purpose of him walking all the way to the Yajna arena of Bali Maharaj? He had to walk. For him, it's quite a big job being so small. He had to walk all the way there just to ask for 3 steps of land. And his 3 steps is nothing. It's ridiculous. It's not even worth it. Nowadays, if you have to register land, you have to go through so many legal procedures. Can you imagine? Register, of course, in some place like downtown Bombay or New York or Tokyo, 3 steps of land is probably worth about 50 crores of rupees or something. But just in the open field, 3 steps of land, it's not even worth putting a fence around. It's just such a small amount. In fact, if you put a fence, then there'll be no space for anything else because the fence will occupy everything. So it seemed like a ridiculous proposition, but the Supreme Lord, being Anorani, Anmahato, Mahi, and the smallest of the small and the greatest of the great, finished everything up in 2 steps. He could have finished everything up in 1 step. Just having a little fun here. And in doing so, he has left for us in the Srimad Bhagavatam some knowledge of astronomy. We talk of Vedic astronomy, but it's just like saying when you talk of Vedic knowledge, it's almost meaningless to say. Just like the word came up, Prabhavishnu. You say Prabhavishnu, I mean Vishnu is powerful. It's known that Vishnu is powerful. So if we say knowledge, Vedic knowledge, what does that mean? It means knowledge. And outside of that is not knowledge. It's Veda must be knowledge. And knowledge must be Veda. So we can't talk of Vedic ignorance, or we can't talk of non-Vedic knowledge, because anything which is not Vedic is not knowledge. So when we speak of Vedic astronomy, it means that which is received through the Vedic literatures, the knowledge of astronomy. But actually the position of is not that because someone else has a different opinion. Someone looks through their Hubble telescope and thinks whatever they think through looking through their telescopes. But that is called astronomy. But actually it's not astronomy. It's just the astronomical foolishness of thinking they know everything. But astronomy means exactly what's going on. So what's in the Vedic literature, that means when the Vedic literature says this, this is this planet, it's like this, this is this planet, it's like this, it moves like this. That is astronomy. You get the point that the way the stars are moving, they're moving. And if you have a different opinion, that's wrong. Just like here it said that all the planets move from east to west. So actually the planets move from east to west. If the modern astronomers have a different idea, which I think they do, they think they move the other way. But they're wrong. And even if you think they may think they're right, but what is correct is correct. Just like so many times people ask us, what do you believe? Do you believe this or that? I always answer, it doesn't matter what I believe, because I'm a tiny, insignificant little soul subject to the four defects of conditioned soul. So we want to know what is the fact. It's not a question of belief. Do you believe in God? As if I believe in God, therefore God exists. And everyone's entitled to their own opinion. But either God exists or He doesn't. Actually, there's not even any question of whether God exists. It's just whether one accepts or he's such a fool, he doesn't accept it. It's not that everyone's opinion is all the same. This is modern liberal idea. We should respect everyone's opinion. And everything is just all this. You know, he's also a person and he has a democratic right. These nonsense ideas. Everyone has a democratic right to think and do whatever they like. It is nonsense. Human beings should be directed by the Vedic injunctions. Not that you, this is putting ourselves on the level of God. What do I believe? What do I think? What do you think? As if you are on the same level as God. But when Krishna says several times in Gita, this is my opinion, that is a fact. And what is our opinion, if it's different from that, is nonsense. All knowledge is there in the Vedic literature. There's no need for us to go, I believe this, I believe that. That is typical of the inductive method of receiving knowledge. It means you gather information by your senses and then you try to work out what's going on. You try to understand. This is just like the blind man and the elephant. One holds on to the trunk, one holds on to the legs, one holds on to the tusk, another. And they all have a limited idea of what an elephant is because their sensory perception is not perfect. And their limited idea, they extend their limited idea to the whole, and therefore one person thinks that an elephant, the one who grabs the tusk, is some kind of curling, hard horn, and someone who grabs the body thinks it's just like some big mass. They all have an incomplete idea, which is therefore incorrect. But they say, I believe, it's my opinion. They're playing God. This idea of saying, I believe, my opinion, everyone's opinion is as good as everyone else. If you think that everyone's opinion is as good as everyone else, that just means you're admitting ignorance. Because facts are facts. They cannot be changed. And it doesn't matter what people believe. Therefore, we have to go to the Vedic knowledge. That Vedic knowledge means we accept it with our intelligence. It doesn't mean we're just a fool. You accept it with your intelligence. That doesn't mean you don't apply your intelligence to understand. That is called deductive knowledge. That means you take the Vedic knowledge and you understand it with your intelligence. But this idea that, especially we see like in the universities, the young kids, they don't know anything. They came out of their mother's diapers and into the college and they don't know anything about life. And they're studying some subject and they think, oh, I know so many things. So this pride is ignorance. It's simply a manifestation of pride to think, I know, or this idea, very liberal, yes, we're being very fair to everybody, let everyone believe what they like. This is completely nonsense. Because, of course, if we say this, then people become upset. But actually, it's the main upset. Because people in the modern age, they're brought up in this way to think that everyone should have their own opinion and everyone's equal. Therefore, we may have to speak with them on the platform of logic. But actually, the logic is not the ultimate. Pramana is not the ultimate evidence. Vedic injunctions, that is the ultimate pramana. This idea, everyone is equal, it's another nonsense idea. Everyone is equal. Then why have an election for the president? Just pull out any rickshaw wallet and make him the president of the... That's another nonsense, to think that everyone, you know, everyone's on the same level in the temple also. Bhakta Bozo joined 3 days ago and some Dr. Burton. and sannyasi and devotee's been in the movement for 30 years, and it's all the same. Everyone should criticize everyone else as much as possible. This is Krishna consciousness in them for the next millennium. We're preparing for the next millennium. Who will be expert in criticism more? That's actually in the Bhagavad Gita, one of the symptoms of the mode of ignorance. One who's expert at criticizing others. So this idea, everyone is equal in every way, it's a nonsense idea. Therefore we receive knowledge from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. And here Shastra says, what is the setup of the universe? We have to take that. We have no way to experiment. You may think I'll look through a Hubble telescope and find out what's going on. But they all, I read this in some magazine, there are, what was it, 200 theories of the origin of the universe by astrophysicists. And how many astrophysicists are there in the world? Probably not much more than 200. So what do they know? What do they know by looking through their Hubble telescopes? They're simply speculating. They see, even what they see, they can't be sure of what they're seeing, and then how they interpret it. And how much can they know? They're just tiny living beings on a tiny planet and looking just like an ant crawling in this room. How can he know what's going on in the room? Because his ability to perceive is limited, and his intelligence to understand what he perceives is limited. Therefore we take Vedic knowledge, which says here that the planets go east to west, so that appears to be opposite of planets are moving. That appears to be opposite to modern knowledge, but if the Shastra says, then Shastra says. That may be from Brahma's point of view, from our point, just like that example I was given the other day. You can be watching a live telecast of a race, and on two screens, and on one screen, everyone's running this way, and on the other screen they're all running the other way. So how is it possible? Because the cameras are on different sides of the race. So from one side it looks like they're all running right to left, and the other side it looks like they're all running left to right. It's just a different perspective, that's all. So we get Vedic astronomy here in the Bhagavatam. Some interesting points that Vamandev is saying, that all the land throughout the universe is in your possession, as far as the sun and moon shine with the stars, and as far as the clouds pour rain. Now the Bhagavatam 5th canto gives a description of an empty part of the universe, a huge vast area beyond the planetary systems. There's the whole of planetary systems are surrounded by the Lokalok mountain. And beyond that there's a huge empty area where the sun does not shine. So that when we speak, our concept of the universe, so it means all the planets and stars and everything's going on. And beyond that, there's a huge empty space. And then beyond that is the covering of the universe. And the coverings, each covering is 10 times thicker than the other. So actually, when we say the universe, we're talking about the inhabitants. They don't perform any auspicious religious activities. Mlecha Ranjirajanyarupinam. Mlechas, the lowest class of people, will take the position of leaders. And then what will they do? Prajasti Pakshiyashyanti. They will simply devour the citizens. Their whole business will be how to exploit the citizens. So there is the summary. You don't need to know all the different details of how this rascal stabbed someone in the back and then took his post, and then someone stabbed him in the back and took his post. You don't need all these things. Simply, this is the situation. So what should you do? Kaledo Shanidei Rajam Astiheko Mahanguna Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Parang Vajit. This Kali Yuga is full of faults. You don't have to read India Today or Time magazine to find out this. You read, you'll find out. You read Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll also find it summarized. That Kali Yuga is full of faults, therefore chant Hare Krishna, go back to God. This Prabhupada also said. And said, don't waste your time. Don't take a risk. Make sure you go back to Godhead. Become pure devotees. Otherwise, if you have to come back, this Kali Yuga is getting so horrible. The time will come when people will have children only to eat them. That time is coming. Such a nasty age. So we're taking knowledge from the Vedic literature. This is infallible knowledge. This is correct. This is Vedic, Vedavakya, this is correct. We don't need to hear from so many different fools and rascals whose knowledge must be covered. However many telescopes, microscopes, and how many Nobel Prizes they have, they're always wrong. They're never going to understand what the situation in the universe is because the knowledge is denied to them. Only they have what they, by the grace of Maya, they have what they think is knowledge. But it's not knowledge. They'll never know perfectly. One who reads Srimad Bhagavatam, he immediately gets perfect knowledge of everything. So what is the knowledge given in Bhagavatam? What is the knowledge given in Shastra? Some knowledge of the universe. This is like this, this is like that. And then what? Chant Hare Krishna. What is the summary? Dukhalayama Shashvatam. This material world is miserable and temporary. Therefore, Natmuvanti Mahatmana. What is that verse? They don't come back again. They're those who are Mahatmas. They don't come back again to this material world because they know it is miserable. They make a program to get out. So Vamandev very kindly took away the whole universe from Bali Maharaj so that he didn't have to be preoccupied with managing it. And instead, he got the association of Lord Vamandev in the Sutala planet. This is the mercy of Bali Maharaj, mercy of Vamandev on Bali Maharaj. He didn't want his devotee to be complicated with these non-necessities. But he took everything away and gave himself to Bali Maharaj. This is his mercy. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? What is that verse? Oh, that's quoted in the... Yeah, but this is given in the previous verse which I commented on to some extent.
Yesterday.
2 days ago. This verse is, you could say like this verse is the motto of the whole Bali Maharaj story, that Krishna says that whoever I give my mercy to, I take away all their possessions. And then his family members, seeing him bereft of everything, reject him. Actually, in this verse, Krishna says, Shanai, I gradually take away. But in this case, he didn't gradually take away. It was very sudden. He just, all of a sudden, took everything away. Shanai. Just like in Gita, Shanai, Shanai, Ruparamed, Dritya, Buddhi, Grihitaya. Gradually. Shanai. Shanai, Shanai, Ruparamed, Dritya, Buddhi, Grihitaya. By intelligence, gradually, one should make progress.
Generally in our lectures we very much downplay the role of information revolution or technological advancement. He was pointing at us that he has seen in our society that many of us are very eager to have the latest technological device, so openly we criticize those things. Why? So he said it's a contradiction.
It's a contradiction because you're on the other side of the fence. It's exactly what I was saying. You don't know. Because you're not understanding by the Vedic process, therefore it seems to you like a contradiction. Eager to have the latest technological devices means we're using that in the service of Krishna. Just like the example of there is, what is an axe used for? For cutting down trees, right? So what is it that cuts the tree? The metal part. What is that called? The shaft of the axe. Is that called the shaft? Yeah. But just with the metal part, can you cut the tree? What do you need? You need a handle, right? What is the handle made of? It's made of wood. So you use the wood to take the axe and cut the tree. Otherwise we don't care for these things. You can use in the service of Krishna, very good. It's just like in a fight, you have to use equal weapons. So, in the modern age, there's so much information of Maya. So we will put back information about Krishna. That's all. Otherwise, in themselves, we don't care for these things.
This age, many people they say that we want to hear Krishna consciousness explained simply through logic. Don't quote Bhagavad Gita, don't explain these things.
Why not? Why should we not quote Bhagavad Gita? What is logical about that? Why should you think that everything can be stood simply by mundane logic? You think that no one knows better than you? Think there's no authority? How have you learned? Where did you get this? Where did you get this idea from that you should only learn from logic? You must have learned it from someone else. That means you're accepting someone's authority. Even to speak, you accepted the. Even to speak these words, you learned to speak because you accepted the authority of your parents and all those around you. What is the meaning of this word logic? I can interpret it to mean bananas. So, but no, there's an authorized meaning of the word which you accept. At every step, we accept authority. Don't be illogical. We can speak also, if you're such a rascal, you don't accept. You can speak also. We speak logic, or you don't want us to speak Bhagavad Gita, or Krishna, alright, we don't have to say Krishna says. You see, your body. You see the body of a child, the body changes to that of a young man. And then the body changes to that of an old man. So the body is changing at every moment, and the mind is changing at every moment. Yet we say it is the same person. Therefore, we can understand there is something different from the mind and body that remains the same. What is that? We can logically conclude that there is something stable which is different from the mind and body. That we call the soul. That is logical. That is in Bhagavad Gita. Dehino svinyata deheko maranyo vananjara. Then, tata dehantara pratihi, the next change is that the body changes. The body goes. But is it logical to assume that because the body has stopped, that the factor that remained constant has also stopped? You don't have any information about that. How far can your logic go? You cannot logically say what happens at the time of death because you don't know what the nature of life is. The nature of life cannot be understood simply by logic. Therefore, you have to accept authority for those matters which go beyond the bounds of logic. Logic cannot tell you what happens after death. You have to accept some authority. And usually these people will say, well, no one can know. Why? Just because you don't know doesn't mean no one else knows. We have authoritative information that life continues after death because life is not dependent upon the body. Rather, the body is dependent upon the living force within the body.
Shastra or direct experience, that unless the person has some degree of sincerity, then they won't accept even the best argument.
Of course. That we see all the time, that we defeat people in argument and they just say, well, I don't believe this. You go, as they want to argue because they think they can defeat you. And then when they find they can't, they just say, well, I don't believe this. That means they're not sincere. People in general, all these philosophies in the world have come because people are not sincere. Even based on Shastra. There's so many bogus things propagated in the name of Shastra. Devil quoting scripture. That saying is the